Before the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like, she speaks so loudly, like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph. And welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through SEER training, which stands for Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you will commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to maintain and enjoy a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie.
Dear Lord, we thank you, Father God, for this day, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for all the things that have taken place, whether they're good or bad, Lord God, because we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You want us to succeed. But most importantly, Lord, you want us to succeed in our marriages. You love the idea and concept of marriage because you designed it just for us. And Lord God, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, for those that are listening this evening. And I pray, God, that they'll be able to receive what is being told to them, what is being shared to them, and they'll be able to apply it to their marriage today. We give you praise for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, one thing that Pastor Stephanie and I are constantly talking about is how much we are enjoying this season of our lives. You know, but then the conversation immediately shifts to how bad we feel for the couples who don't have the type of relationship that we have. Those who are just together. Those who are just roommates, business partners, there for the sake of the kids. And we think about how sad that is. You know, how did they get that way? Because the truth is, many marriages don't fall apart in an instant. They drift apart over time. That drift is often subtle. You know, it begins by missed conversations, neglected date nights, growing frustrations, unspoken needs. Yeah. Emotional drift doesn't require necessarily sin taking place, only silence. Write this down. If you don't intentionally grow together, you will unintentionally grow apart.
Say that again.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, I need to say that again. If you don't intentionally grow together, you will unintentionally grow apart.
Wow.
And that's why Pastor Stephanie and I, we have always, since the beginning of our marriage, spent time together. We have constantly made an effort to be one with one another. You know, I was sharing some things with my older daughter just the other day. We were having a conversation, you know, because, you know, our daughters are of that age now where they are, you know, starting to pursue relationships mm-hmm. and things of that nature. And I was telling her, I said, you know, one of the most important parts of a relationship are the foundation mm-hmm. at the very beginning. I said, and you've got to be very intentional about being together. I said, so many couples struggle throughout the course of their lifetime because they were not intentional in the beginning about forming a relationship of togetherness. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people have the mindset that I've got my life and they've got their life, and society pushes this mindset of, you know, you've got to maintain your own identity. You've got to maintain your own space. You got to, you know, you got to maintain your life. Mm-hmm. And that's not a biblical concept. Mm-hmm. I don't care how many people try to tell you that that's healthy, that you got to have this, you got to have that. The Bible says the two would become one flesh. He didn't say you got to remain your own individuality. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell you to you got to do something for yourself. He never says any of that in the scripture. That is a secular concept. He said the two shall become one flesh. So from the day Pastor Stephanie and I started dating, we started having a marriage mindset. We started having a mindset that we need to grow together. I told my daughter, I said, we started practicing the mindset that whatever we do, we're going to do it together. I said, so even when I was hanging out with my boys, I had the mentality, well, if I'm going to hang out with them, she's got to be able to hang with me. And mm-hmm. if she can't hang with me, then I can't hang mm-hmm. with y'all. I said, because that's my mentality. I'm not marrying somebody to be by myself. That's why I've never understood these concepts of these girls trips and these guy trips and these girls night outs and these guys night outs, because it's a mindset that we've got to learn to defeat in marriage. And people, and I'm not saying that, you know, male bonding isn't good and female mm-hmm. bonding isn't yeah. good, but there are ways to achieve that even in your togetherness. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be very intentional about your relationship. And I know you have heard very anointed men and women of God, and you've heard very well-intentioned men and women of God tell you exact opposite things, but I asked them to show it to you in the scripture.
Right.
Because I'm telling you what the Bible says. He said the two shall become one. And if we're one, then where are we separate? I'll wait. Somebody email me, somebody message me, send it to me and show it to me in the scripture where he said, do it separately. Because he says, how can they walk together unless they agree?
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of time. Those are things that are done by choice. You know, I'm just thinking about the rehab stay I had where mm-hmm. I was away for 18 days. And that was the most difficult time between he and I, as far as missing each other. That was the longest we've ever been apart from each other. But many times these girl and boy trips or women and men trips, they are by choice. Mm-hmm. And if your house is already tore up before you leave, when you come back, it'll still be tore up. There'll be nothing changing. There may be some resentments and different things because you went away and didn't take care of what y'all need to take care of before going.
And I'm not saying that you can't have different interests.
Right.
I'm not saying that you can't have different hobbies. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you have to be joined together at the hip.
Yeah.
But the problem is we focus on self. Mm-hmm. The world has taught us to focus on self and not together. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be married, selfishness is the absolute cancer in mm-hmm. marriage.
My God. Yep.
So this evening, we want to talk about growing together, not apart.
Mm-hmm. And
avoiding emotional drift. I'm sorry. Look at us. We finishing each other's statements, Lord, because we're one.
Anyway, so, you know, there are different things about emotional drifts. When I thought about drifts, I don't know if you've ever seen like different cartoons, for example, and they're in the desert. And just say, for instance, it's Yosemite Sam and he's minding his own business. And all of a sudden, this sand drift comes in and it totally covers him up. And he has to dig his way out. So, you know, when you're in an emotional drift, basically, you're allowing your emotions to capture you so much that you end up being caught underneath so much stuff and you're trying to dig out. But when you have your emotions involved, we already know that facts and feelings can clash. So there are different signs of the emotional drift. For example, conversations become transactional, talking only about kids, bills, or responsibilities. That's easy. I'm laughing. I'm even thinking about the movie Date Night. You know, they were planning on going out and having a good time and going out to eat. And they would sit there and like try to finish other people's conversations. But then they talked about the kids instead of being in a date. Okay, so, you know, there it's easy for conversations to become transactional to where you're like, okay, let me get this transaction over and I can keep it moving.
You know, it's funny when you were talking about the drift, my mind went to the movie Castaway with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're out here and this current is just taking you further and further away from land, and you're just out here. And that drift, and that's literally what's happening. It's creating this distance, and it's slowly happening, and eventually you can't find your way back. And that's what happens when you allow these things to take place in your marriage, because eventually initially you can't see it happening. You know, I remember I've heard different stories of different people. I know a couple of friends of mine have had these testimonies where they're out at the beach, you know, and they're just out there, you know, and they just treading water and they're just out there just chilling. And next thing you know, they look up and the beach is so far away, and then they start trying to swim back and they couldn't get back.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they recognize that the current has carried them so far out that now they can't get back because of the undertow, and now they were in trouble, and they literally thought they were about to drown, and they just started praying, and then all of a sudden, you know, God sent a wave and basically took them back to the beach. I remember God telling me this story, and I mean, he was scared he was going to die, but it's like that. It's the same situation. You can get yourself in a situation where you've drifted so far out that it's literally going to take a divine intervention to get back.
Yeah.
And that's why you've got to be real intentional that you don't get to that place, because so many people get into that place where that distance has become so big that they feel like that they can't get back. And instead of actually praying and seeking God to find their way back, they just give up.
Yeah.
And so that's why you got to look for these signs. And like you said, and these transactional conversations.
Another sign of an emotional drift, the affection begins to fade. You know, fading can take time, but sometimes you throw something in the wash and it fades immediately, you know? So when your affection fades, there's less hugging and kissing and physical closeness. Those things become rare. And, you know, you don't want to have that component of your marriage to become rare. Affection is to bring you closer.
You know, and it's funny because all of us have things going on. And sometimes you may be in a different state of mind. You may be in a different season of life. You may have something going on. You may have a heavy project at work. You may have a lot going on with your children. You may have different things going on in ministry. You may have things going on with your family. You may have a health condition going on. Life happens.
Yeah.
As the young folks say, life be life. And you know, and when stuff's happening, a lot of times you may be preoccupied with different things. But that's why you have to be intentional about this. And you can't just sit back and watch that current drift you all apart. Yeah. And so somebody, when you see that drift taking place, when you start noticing, and that's why we're telling you about these signs, and I pray you're taking these things as notes. Mm-hmm. When you start noticing that your conversations are becoming transactional,
yeah.
when you notice that the only time we're talking about the kids, we're talking about bills, we're talking about things that we have to do, responsibilities. When we start noticing that, you know, that when was the last time we hugged each other? When was the last time we kissed each other? When was mm-hmm. the time we were physically close? When you start noticing that your affection is fading, somebody has got to start paddling back towards yeah. shore. Somebody yeah. has got to start actively trying to close that distance between you and land, start bringing us wow. back. Somebody's actually got to start doing something. Somebody's got to fight against the current. Mm. And so what I've noticed is sometimes, like I said, I've got 100 things going on, you know, with the channel, the ministry, you know, trying to take care of the finances of the household, the things that going on, the responsibilities, you know, the kids are, you know, our kids are grown, but they're still, you know, they're transitioning into adulthood. Yeah. So sometimes they've got things going on with the car, things that they're not used to handling. So mm-hmm. when they've got an issue, they call dad. And so I'm dealing with, you know, one's here, you know, and they're working, and the other one's in another city, and they got stuff going on with their apartment and their car and this, you know, and so I'm dealing with all these things. And so sometimes my mind's bouncing 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to handle these things and doctor's appointments and all of these kinds of things. And so I'll be walking past her and she'll say, come give me a kiss. She'll have to start paddling against the current mm-hmm. because she'll see he's walked past me 3 times a day and hasn't kissed me. He's walked past me 3 times a day and hasn't hugged me. So she's being mindful of the fact that, hey, we haven't hugged today. We haven't mm-hmm. kissed today. Mm-hmm. It's something I'm going to make sure if he doesn't catch it, I'm noticing that right. she's not feeling well today. I'm noticing that she's preoccupied dealing with some. She handles a lot of times going through the mail and sorting the bills and things of that nature so that I can take care of it. She keeps the things organized. And so she's trying to take care of some housework stuff. And so she's kind of preoccupied doing some laundry, doing some different things. And so I'm noticing how she's kind of going here, there, all over the place. And so I notice it. And so I will stop her in her tracks and come over and I will kiss her. I'll hug her. I'll notice that drift is starting to happen. And it doesn't have to be a whole day before right. we make sure that we're mindful right. of these things. And so that's why you have to keep, somebody has to keep eyes on these things, because a day will turn into 2 days, will mm-hmm. turn into 3 days, will turn into 4 days, will turn into a week, will turn into a month.
Yeah, and then the kids are grown up and they're gone. And then
and so y'all are roommates.
Like, what happened to the 20-something? Well,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so these are the things you've got to pay attention to. And that's why we're telling you these are signs that there's a drift starting to take place.
When you were talking about stopping me dead in my tracks, I had to giggle, because there are times where I put my chair in like slow mode, but then there's times I'll put it on moderate. And when that happens, I'm flying. So he literally has to say, babe, you need to slow down. Not only to prevent me from having an accident, but you know, to say, hey, slow down. You may not be able to walk, but your brain is going 1,200 miles an hour. So slow down and say, hey, I need to pay attention, okay? Another sign of emotional drift is the lack of appreciation. Mm-hmm. Man, that's when you straight up take your spouse for granted. You sit there and you see, you know, say for instance, act of love. And I'll just use a brief illustration with us. You know, I do the laundry and I make sure that I fold his clothes a certain way, you know. And when you come in and then you see everything is awry, it doesn't make you feel good. But then when he comes and say, you know, baby, thank you for folding that up, or thank you for doing this, a simple thank you can go a long way. When he would go away to preach or, you know, out of the state or whatever, he would always come back with something for me and the girls just to say, hey, you know, I recognize that y'all had to sacrifice your time. I appreciate you all letting me do the work of God. Let me minister to other people. And it helped us, and especially me, his wife, not being taken for granted.
You know, if you have a spouse that is kind enough to take certain things off your plate, for example, mm-hmm. if your spouse cooks for you every day,
sure
or
does.
they do the laundry or these particular things, the fact that you come home every day from work mm-hmm. to a hot meal,
yeah.
and then you just come in and sit down and eat it and then get up and go and do whatever.
Leave your plate and everything.
And you don't even say thank you. That's showing that there's becoming an emotional drift.
Yes.
You're starting to take that person for granted. You're not even paying attention to the things that they're doing for you. Mm-hmm. They were kind enough. They saw that you were tired. So they went and did something for you that mm-hmm. they know that you're preoccupied with a big project you got going on. You're trying to sell something. You're trying to do something. You're working on a promotion. You're working on something in the business. And so they actually take the time to do something for you that they know that you need it done. And you don't even take the time to say, I appreciate you doing that mm-hmm. because you know that I was tied up in this, that, there, and the other. There's an emotional drift starting to happen.
Yes.
These are signs that you need to stop. You need to pause and you need to row against the current.
Mm-hmm. Another sign of emotional drift is disconnection despite presence. Wow. Mm.
This is big. Yeah. And we see this all the time. Couples, y'all sitting in the same room and you sitting there like this.
Yep.
They talking to you and you ain't even looked up because you sitting here with this little 6-inch screen in your face.
Or earbud in your ear.
Yeah. Because and this is the world we live in now.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. Because we've become so disconnected. Mm. We're in the same room, but we're on different emotional planets.
Yeah. Total.
We are so connected to other people that we're not connecting with the people we're in the same room with.
That's right. That's right.
I remember a season when that was an issue for us. Mm-hmm. Like I said, she would be sitting there on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it was, and sitting there, and I'm sitting there like,
yeah, he was like that.
And that's Ooh. One of those things. It was always a pet peeve for me, but I know the same thing because see, they had to get me years ago because of ministry. I would always keep that little blue thing in my ear,
yeah.
Because every time the phone would ring, they're sitting there talking to me, and all of a sudden, I'm having another conversation because I couldn't miss a phone call.
Or either in the middle of a conversation, and you know, I may not have heard that he's talking. I'm thinking he's talking to me. And I'm trying to share something with him, but in other words, he's dealing with somebody else. And sometimes I would go, forget it. You can't do that. You know, if there's something that's meaningful for you to share with your spouse, you have to reconnect with them so that you're able to keep them grounded in the here and now instead of all over the universe.
And that's where the three A's that fuel love come in.
Yep.
Number one is affection.
Mm-hmm.
Love that is expressed.
Wow.
The proverb writer says this, let your fountain be blessed and rejoiced in the wife of your youth. Be intoxicated always in her love. Here the proverb writer reminds us to rejoice in our spouse emotionally and physically. So affection includes touch, compliments, eye contact, and kindness. So he tells us that we should be intoxicated always by their love. Mm-hmm. That we should rejoice in the wife of your youth or the spouse of your youth. That means you should never stop seeing the person you married.
Mm-hmm.
as the one that you married. Let me help you. Let me help you. I always say this, you know, we wrote a book on marriage, and commonly when I people say, ask me to sign them when they buy books. And one thing I always say, if you never stop looking at the person you marry, if you always look at your spouse through the eyes that you married, you will always have a blessed marriage. You have to always see them the same way you saw them when you got married.
Yep.
See, I don't care if you're 80 years old.
Right.
If you were 20 when you got married, you still need to see them as the 20-year-old that you married.
That's right. That's right.
That way you will always be attracted to them. You will always, and see, watch this. I prayed that prayer, this scripture here, over myself. Watch this. See, this is where people get confused. I didn't pray that my wife looked the same. I prayed that I would always rejoice in the wife of my youth. So when I see her, I see the same woman I fell in love with always.
That's good.
That means no matter what happens with her physically, I always see her the same.
Yes.
So I'm still attracted to her the same way I was when I married her. Mm-hmm. See, God granted my wish, my prayer. And so when I look at her, I don't see anything different than the day I stood at the altar.
Yeah. And even with less hair and more grays and more wrinkles and more this and that, you know, we still take a moment to establish eye contact. You know, I think about a lot of people that have gone through major health crises and, you know, their spouses leave them. Or you even have some marriages where, say, for instance, somebody gets something done to their body in order to make themselves look younger instead of just embracing.
And that's the craziest thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't realize we've been married 28 years in September. And my favorite thing to do on this entire planet is look in my wife's face. I will sit here and look at her all day long.
And he still makes me blush.
Yeah. But that is all I desire to do is sit here and look at her. I could stare at her all day long. But that's what God desired. That's what God blessed me with this. And that's what we ought to desire as married people.
Yeah.
Because that's the will of God. That's the word. That's what he said. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Be intoxicated always in her love. That's mm-hmm. the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God has blessed me to be able to live out the word.
Mm-hmm.
And, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, honey.
No, that's why people don't understand that people always talking about, oh, I don't know about marriage. You don't get mm-hmm. it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we keep talking about we want the will of God for our lives. Do you really? See, do you really?
Mm.
But if you really want the will of God for your life, you got to put in on this.
Yep.
You got to apply this.
Must. It's a demand.
You gotta pray for this. You gotta apply this. You gotta work at this. And see, that's why marriage ain't work.
Mm.
It requires effort.
Yeah.
It requires submission to the will of God for your life. See, if I submit myself to the will of God, look at the benefit. Yeah. Look at the benefit.
That's right. And it's so important, you know, that you may have to reestablish some practical things on a daily basis. You know, hug longer, kiss longer, and I think this is so cute because I always pick with him from the movie Love and Basketball. You know, when the little young kids at that time, they began kissing and he was like, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He counted to make sure he did a 5 count. Sometimes I'll even do that with him. I hold my hand up just like the little boy, and we laugh. Because, again, 5 seconds is better than no seconds, okay? Hold hands again. We hold hands in our sleep sometimes. We hold hands when, not like we used to in the car, but, you know, sometimes even, honestly, sitting at a doctor's office. It doesn't matter. Anytime that I'm close to him and he's close to me and we have an opportunity to just do this or, you know, maybe I might just, you know, lean on him or whatever, that is a practical tip. Like right now I'm holding his hand and I'm just in love, okay? So, you know, say I love you without needing a reason. God loved us without needing a reason. Jesus died for us, you know, without needing a reason. He did that because he loved us unconditionally. But he also demands us to make that effort. And you got to make the same effort in your marriage.
Yep. The second A is attention. Mm-hmm. That's love focused. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Here it shows us that marriage is partnership. Yeah. It requires presence and attentiveness. Mm-hmm. You've got to be attentive to what's going on with your spouse. See, many spouses feel unseen or unheard, even when living under the same roof. Mm-hmm. And that's why sometimes you got to put the phone down. Look your spouse in the eyes when they speak. Ask intentional questions like, how's your heart? Mm-hmm. What's bringing you joy? What's stressing you out? What's going on with you?
Yeah. Yep.
Where are you right now? What's on your mind? You've got to literally talk to them and see what's happening with them. Mm-hmm. Because you can't support them. You can't know what's going on with them.
You can't read each other's minds. We say that all the time.
And you can't know their emotional state. You cannot know what's happening with them. Brother Corey and I were talking about this to the men in the man cave the other day. Our job as watchmen, you've got to know the emotional state of your spouse. I was sharing in the man cave with the fellas. I was telling them, I said, you know, a few years ago, my wife was going through some things. And if I wasn't paying attention to her, like I said, I probably would have lost her because her light was going out. She was going through, because of the challenges she was going through physically, and life was very difficult for her when we were living in Virginia, and I saw what was going on. And so I had to start having some conversations with God. I was like, this has got to change. Yeah. And so if I couldn't see the burden she was under, because she wasn't vocalizing, she was shutting down. And so I had to be able to see that, to be able to go to God on her behalf, and then had to go to God in faith to be able to intercede for my family. And then God allowed me by faith to be able to relocate my family and to be able to give her everything that she needed to be now in the best season of our life.
Even with the changes physically, you know, we're still in the best season of our life. Why? It's because we're doing these things that we are telling you guys to do. So, you know, you have to make an effort. We don't sit here and just talk for nothing. We just don't sit here and say, hey, let's wear the same t-shirts today. No, we're saying these things so that you'll be able to embrace them and improve your marriages. All right.
Yeah, but you have to be attentive.
Yeah, got to.
You have to give that attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The third A is appreciation. Mm-hmm. which is love valued. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Here, Peter encourages us to love deeply because love covers flaws, mm-hmm. quirks, and frustrations. Appreciation fuels the souls. It affirms that your spouse is seen, known, and valued.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it just takes a second to say, you know, thank you. Or if not, sometimes we always focus on what's wrong instead of what's right. You know, we all have flaws. I have flaws. He has flaws. You know, I have quirks. He has quirks. But I don't go, oh, he make me sick because of the quirks, and don't speak to him, or, you know, kind of hold it against him. Instead, you know, I realized that this was the man that God created for me. So you learn how to appreciate your spouse through love. And in appreciation, it fuels the soul. It affirms that your spouse is seen, known, and heard. So another practical tip is, be specific in your praise. Say things like, I love the way you handle situations with grace. Mm-mm. Thank you for taking care of this, that, and so. You know, thank you for taking care of putting gas in the car. Thank you for taking care of making sure I had my snacks. Okay. I don't take it for granted. So everything you're thanking for them to take care of, you just say, you know, I just don't take that for granted. I thank you for doing that. And, you know, for all of the thank yous, there are things that you can do to continue to bring you emotionally closer. Date night, I'm going to say this, with purpose. Go on a date night with purpose. So keeping your marriage healthy takes intentional time together. Date night isn't just fun. It's spiritual maintenance. Oh, that is really, really good.
I've always said this. Mm. If you continue to date the person you married, you'll always have a wife and a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I've always told people that. I said, because that's the key. You've got to make sure that you practice being attracted to one another. You got to practice being intimate with one another. You got mm-hmm. to practice being emotionally close mm-hmm. to one another.
Yeah.
You know, purposeful date night ideas are doing things like, you know, going down memory lane, revisiting a place where you first met or had a meaningful date,
mm-hmm.
or doing things that you did years ago.
Yeah.
You know, those are things that reignite sparks mm-hmm. that bring you back to how you felt back then, to those days of your youth.
It's funny, you know, our oldest, she gave us a record compiled of all of Maxwell's music. And as we were dating and falling in love and getting married, you know, Maxwell was the guy. So sometimes we'll listen to Maxwell and I'm looking at him like he looked at me when we first met each other.
Yeah, it was one of the first concerts we went to together. And it was it's something, like you said, it takes us back to when we started dating.
Yeah.
You know, vision talks. You know, discuss your dreams, your goals, and what God is doing in your lives.
Mm.
You know, sometimes, like you said, it's one of those things of, like you said, talking about, and even we spend a lot of time just, especially in our harvest season, looking at all the things that God has done.
Mm.
You know, that's a beautiful thing for us, because, you know, we've been in ministry together for over 20 years. And so just being able to look at the harvest of some of the things that we've done, and then looking at the things that we're still believing God for, you know, looking at the children that we've produced, looking at what he's doing in our children's lives and our spiritual children's lives. Like you said, that's even meaningful for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And even talking about where in this season of life, what things that we try to do. You know, if you're not able to do too much, I mean, like, you know, Pastor Tuck always talks about, look at your phone. People that you intentionally want to bless, just don't call Kiki and them, you know, and, you know, tear things up. So there's goals that you can work together. And it's important that you serve together, too. You know, volunteer as a couple and watch your bond grow. Why? Because when you volunteer, you take the focus off yourself and you put your focus and love on somebody else. Because so many times we as individuals can be self-centered, but as a couple, you can be self-centered as well. Or, you know, standoffish or withdrawn. So, you know, give back to somebody.
One of the things that we love doing is doing ministry together. Mm-hmm. This is such a great thing for us, is doing ministry together. And so that's one of those things that brings you closer, mm-hmm, as a couple, is being able to serve together and do things together,
yep,
for the Lord. Because the Lord's going to honor what you honor.
Yeah. And, you know, bless other ministries as well, and, you know, be impactful in their vision and mission, etc. I think Kaya would love this one. Question night. Our girls would love this. Bring fun or deep conversation starters. For example, what's one thing you need more from me this month? And don't you say I need more money. You know, what thing do you need? If it's give me ice water a little more every night or whatever, you know, just, it could be simple, y'all. So question night is opening up conversation to, you know, expand, to really hear what the other person is saying, because sometimes we just don't. All right.
Worship night, you create a playlist of worship songs and spending time praying together after dinner.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can, that's an easy thing to do, especially if you got one of those Amazon devices. I'm not going to mention her name because it's one probably nearby that'll respond.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, purposeful time together guards your marriage from boredom and temptation and miscommunication.
Yeah.
And allowing you to drift away from each other because both of you are preoccupied with something else. It brings your focus back centered to the same place.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps you to grow in grace together. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love is patient. Love is kind. Here Paul says, love always protects. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Growth requires grace. You're not the same person you were when you got married, and neither is your spouse. And that's not a threat. It's an invitation to rediscover each other again and again.
That's good. Especially that part where you say growth requires grace. And then the invitation to rediscover each other again and again. Anytime something grows, if it's a perennial plant, you know, you're expecting it to come back each year again and again and again. And, you know, sometimes we forget to give each other grace to say, you know, hey, they didn't do this intentionally, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, because we're growing together, I can now see, you know, what he was actually trying to do to get us closer or to better our marriage. So you always, y'all, have to keep choosing each other, always. You don't drift into intimacy. You decide into it.
Yes.
God designed marriage to reflect his covenant love, not a contract of convenience, ladies and gentlemen, but a commitment of connection.
Marriage thrives when both partners decide daily that I choose to grow with you and not away from you.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
You might want to write that down.
Yeah.
Your marriage is going to thrive when both of you decide I choose to grow with you and not away from you.
My goodness.
But that's going to require you putting in some effort.
Yeah. And I really want couples to think, focus on that statement. I choose to grow with you, not away from you, by trying to get to know your spouse better. By all the tips and everything that we shared, to be able to rediscover why you two fell in love in the first place. What areas that may need some tweaking. And, you know, the things that you have accomplished as a couple. But also, you know, things to prepare for as you go through different transitions of life.
You know, whenever we're dealing with couples that are even on the brink of divorce, one of the first things we start asking them is, go back and think about why you fell in love in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because somewhere along the line, you got married for a reason. And somewhere along the line, you forgot that. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with marriages. We have not been diligent about staying focused on why we got married in the first place.
That's right.
And so if you make that your business to every day remember why you got married in the first place, every day. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, I would marry my wife every day and twice on Sunday.
And guess what? It doesn't have to be based upon perfection.
No.
You know, we married each other with flaws. Okay.
And I'm more in love with her now than I was then.
Yep. Ditto.
Ditto. Because like I said, every day I'm getting closer and closer and closer and closer to her.
Yep.
That is my focus. That is my goal.
Mine too.
And because I keep putting that effort in, every day I fall more in love with her.
Yep.
More and more every day. And that's why people are like, oh man, you put too much. I'm telling you, because what you put your effort in is just like anybody else. You look at LeBron. LeBron been playing basketball for over 20 years, and he's still getting better. They're looking for him to slow down, and he's getting better every year, even though he's older. He should be slowing down. He should be getting worse because of age, and he's getting better. Why? Because he's still practicing.
Yeah.
He's still focused on getting better.
Better, yeah.
Your marriage should be the same way if you put the same effort in it. Watch this. You've been on your job for 15 years, and on your job, you're no longer entry level. You're a vice president. Why? Because every day you went to work and said, I'm getting better because I want to excel. Mm-hmm. I want to rise. I want to get better. I want to get better. But in your marriage, you feel like y'all are further and further and further and further and further away. That's because you put your effort in your job, but you didn't put your effort in your marriage.
And, you know, I've even talked to couples before that many times when you get lost in your work and it's work, 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 work instead of your marriage, work becomes infidelity. Work becomes adulterous because you are putting more effort into something else, more time, more love, more attention into something else than in your marriage.
But that's exactly it.
Yeah.
If you got married and this is what you said you wanted to do for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, y'all better hear what I'm telling you. You said this is what you want to do for the rest of your life. But you go to a job and you said, I don't want to be here for the rest of my life. My goal is to retire. I eventually want to quit this. But you put in so much effort in your job that you're able to advance.
Yeah.
But in your marriage, you're regressing because you're putting no effort in. Y'all tell me how much sense it makes. It's crazy. Absolutely ludicrous.
Mm-hmm. Because you done wore yourself out at your job by working there for so many years that you're too tired to even try.
You put so much effort in. You rise to a pinnacle and then walk away.
Woo.
And you're in a marriage that you're supposed to be in for your life. You put no effort in.
That's right.
And then I'll end up walking away from something that you were supposed to be, that's supposed to sustain you the rest of your life.
Yep. That's right.
Because of apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of neglect.
Being numb and not caring, you know. But really, if you guys decide, I choose to grow with you, not away from you, that'll help you through these emotional drifts. You know, back to what Pastor Tuck was talking about, the movie with Tom Hanks, Castaway. You know, he, even through his emotional trials, he pushed through those major waves and, you know, being injured and, you know, losing Wilson, his little friend. You know, he had these type of emotions, but he pushed through to make sure that he got back to the woman he fell in love with, you know. And it really wasn't about him. It was about getting back to her. And because he loved her so much, that was motivation. That's what gave him the courage to continue to go through all of that stuff that we probably would have jumped off the cliff if we had to deal with it, you know? But you have to grow with your spouse. You have to hold on to those drifts. Sometimes he might be stronger in the drift. I might not be. I might be stronger. He might not be, but regardless, as long as we're choosing to grow together, as long as we're choosing not to grow away from each other, we can get through any drift. Amen?
Amen.
It's great. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy teaching with him.
Absolutely.
Yep,
well, so. We pray that you're going to have focus. Mm-hmm. Pray that you're going to have an emotional reconnection. And we pray that you're going to have renewed affection, attention, and appreciation for one another.
Yep.
So we're going to pray over those things right now.
Mm-hmm.
Precious God, Lord, we ask you, Lord, that you would give these couples a renewed focus, an emotional reconnection, renewed affection, attention, and appreciation for one another. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you touch every couple that's watching. Mm-hmm. Lord, give them what they need, Lord, to overcome the drifts, Lord, that may have taken place. And Lord, those that are dedicated, Lord, continue to increase, Lord, the harvest, Lord, that they have from it. Father God, that they will see, Lord, in their marriage, Father God, Lord, the blessing, Lord, that you desire for them to have, that they would rejoice, Lord, in the spouses of their youth. Father God, that they would always be intoxicated by their love.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for what you call marriage to be. Father God, a representation, Lord, of your relationship with the church. And Father God, Lord, that the earth would see, Lord, who you are, Lord, through our relationships. Father God, we give you glory in everything we do. And we thank you, Lord, for it all in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
If you've been blessed by the marriage seer training or any of our programming here at My Church Virtual Network, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, you can help us by donating a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or go to our website, lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. You can help us. We have all kinds of faith-based programming here on the channel. We've got Leadership Academy, Women of Worth, The Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training, Heart of the Pastor. We've got Medicine for the Mind. Mm-hmm. Sunday mornings, we've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yvita Cash.
Mm-hmm.
But our job is to make sure that the body of Christ is equipped with faith-based content.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're doing that. We're doing exactly what God called us to do. So if you want to help us continue to do that, if you want to sow your tithe, your offering, your seed, anything you desire to do to help us continue to do that, we'll be faithful over that and to make sure that the gospel is going forth in the earth. Yes. So God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you again on next time. Please stay tuned for our announcements. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is Pastor Steph. And God bless you. Next time.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak.
speak to you.
Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
It's,
that's
right. You know. At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.